If you are serious about building your short-term rental business to $10,000, $20,000, maybe even $30,000 a month or more, you have come to the right place. My name is Kyle Stanley, and this is the Fearless Investor Podcast, where we teach you all things short-term rentals. The best guests, the best tools, the best strategies. There are so many investing paths out there. It can be seriously overwhelming to start out as a new investor, but take it from me, short-term rentals is the best and the quickest way to build your cash flow. So buckle up, listen in, and get ready to conquer the world of short-term rentals. Here we go.
Team Fearless, if you didn't already know, I closed on close to 100 doors in just under 2 years, and I did it without using any of my own money and without leaving the comfort of my office chair. Now, I did this with something I like to call the Castor Method. And maybe you've heard me talk about it, but now is your chance to actually learn this exact method from me. In my 5-day Castor Challenge, I'm going to help you find hot deals. You're going to hear real conversations that I have with sellers that are live. And by day 5, you will have everything you need to get on the phone with a motivated seller in your market. Jump on this 5-day Castor Challenge today. Go to thefearlessinvestors.co/5-day. That's thefearlessinvestors.co/5-day. Let me show you exactly how good deals are created, not just found. See you there.
What's up, Team Fearless? You got just me, Kyle, today. Lame is out of town. So I was the one that interviewed Trevor Oldham here talking about this number one strategy that's going to get you more deals, whether you're arbitraging, co-hosting, owning, maybe you're doing a different real estate strategy. Any way that you're doing real estate, this strategy is going to help you get more deals without spending money, without spending time, a ton of time. You're going to spend some time, but not a ton of time. And one of the things that we talk about in this conversation is just kind of the annoyances, right, of networking and how it takes a lot of time. You got to find the right meetup group. You got to go there. You got to meet the right person. You got to then take them out to lunch, and you got to develop that relationship, and you got to go do that again and again and again and again. And that can be monotonous. Or you can do direct mailers and spend tens, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars until you get results. These are all things that most of us don't either have the time or the money to do. And this strategy that Trevor's going to be talking about is going to unlock a new option for you that might take you out of your comfort zone. I know it will probably take 99.9% of you out of your comfort zone, but it will yield results. I'm a shining example of exactly that. And I'm going to stick with you after the podcast to give a little bit more context to this and give you a few more stories. So make sure you stay to the end so that you can hear I'm going to just help you get past a little bit of those fears if you don't already do that with Trevor. Let's get to it right now with Trevor Oldham here on the Fearless Investors Podcast. Guys, welcome into the Fearless Investors Podcast. We've got Trevor Oldham here today. Now, we're not going to be talking a whole lot of short-term rentals today, so I'm not going to ask Trevor our usual, what's your craziest short-term rental story, but I will ask Trevor really quickly before we get started, before you reveal this number one marketing strategy for how to find more deals in real estate, I want to know, what's been the worst marketing strategy that you've tried that you've just been like, wow, that bombed?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just been Google Ads, which has been interesting, just running a ton of paid traffic to it. And we would get folks we would get conversions. We would get people booking calls with us. I'm not just the quality of folks wasn't good. And I mean, we tested like 20K into it over the course of a couple of months. And it was painful. It was almost like, you know, I hired different agencies to come in and run it. It was painful. So we sort of pulled the plug on that one. And that was probably the worst marketing strategy. You know, and it works for a lot of companies out there, but for whatever reason, we just couldn't get it to work with ours.
Quick, funny story. I used to have a recruiting agency helping athletes get recruited to play in college. And my business partner had the genius idea of having Michael Vick post for us. This was after everything went down. And I was like, how much does it cost? He's like, 20K. I was like, it's not my money. It's your money. He goes, yeah. And he posted on Twitter, we got crickets for 20K. I think we've all been through like the really bad marketing strategies, mm-hmm. right? Where like it costs a lot of money or a lot of our time. And so before like we go into what your strategy is, how you're getting deals, and also how you're teaching other people to get deals in their real estate business, what are some of the ways that you're finding a lot of people are trying to get deals or are putting, you know, their marketing dollars or time into that's just not bearing enough fruit for them?
Yeah, most certainly. So I'd say one, like networking, attending a lot of these networking groups, and not to say that they aren't good, but it's almost like every single person within these networking groups going to conferences, you meet so many different individuals, and not that there's not value there, but I find that it's almost like you meet someone, you have 30 seconds to make an impression, then you're on the next person, you're handing off your business card. So I find a lot of folks do that. I find folks sponsor conferences and different things like that. That is nice because you can say, hey, I was featured at this conference, but that doesn't necessarily do too well. And I would say outside of that, I find a lot of folks doing Google Ads as well. And it's just crazy the cost when it comes to finding these deals and trying to find new investors and different things like that. I mean, you're paying 40, 50, 60 bucks a click. And you got to be pretty good with your dollar spend on that one. So I find a lot of folks are churning that way or just spending a lot of money where at the end of the day, the relationship that you build within real estate, you know, that's what's going to make you find these deals. It's not going to be talking to someone for 30 seconds. It's talking to someone and really getting to know them, whether that's a 15, 20, 30, 60 minute conversation. But I find too many folks just think it's going to be easy. And then also with that said, it's going to take a long time to find these deals, to find the partners and different things like that. So it's almost like a long-term game where people expected, hey, I've heard of these folks that are having success in the short-term rental space or these other asset classes within real estate and sort of expect it to be overnight, where a lot of this relationship building that you have with these other people, it's going to take a long time. And I think so many people expect to have an overnight success with it.
Yeah. And just to your point there, like networking, I still believe is a huge way, but like that's an art. Right? Mm-hmm. Like actually networking and, you know, being likable, being someone that you want to do business with, that doesn't always happen right away. I look back when I was 23 years old and starting my own business, I'm a much different person today than I was back then. I probably sucked at networking back then, right? It was all about me. It was all about what I wanted. It was nothing about how can I give value. And that's the biggest difficulty is taking the time to show that you can provide value for others is the key to networking. And like you said, that's not an overnight thing. Also, like mailers, how about that? Do you get a lot of people that are like, hey, I can't afford mailers or like I haven't had any success with it?
Yeah, so it's been a mixture of that. I find that people that are using mailers, they'll send them out and then sometimes they'll get the person that's on that other line and just how much you're gonna give me. And obviously that's what everyone wants to know when you're sending out these mailers. So I've heard hit or miss things with these mailers. And it depends if you're going out there and you're buying a list or scrubbing off a list, who's to say that another investor hasn't also used that list and it's been churned over 5, 10, 20, 25 times. So I find that if you're going to be sending out the direct mail letters, you just want to make sure that one, you have your systems and processes in place. Can you handle the call volume as it comes in? Are you going to know what to do? And then two, when you're reaching out to folks, how many times has that list been used? Because if someone's getting a letter in the mail, say every other month, every couple of months, wanting to buy their property, they're probably just going to throw it in the trash. Yeah. So it's that game where, yeah, you want to be able to send those direct mail letters, but at the same time, you don't want to be just churning it over and reaching out to the same folks that other people have reached out to. So it's trying to find that happy medium. I have heard of investors that use those direct mail letters and they have a ton of success with it and they're on constantly picking up new deals. But like anything else, it's going to take time. So you tweak your letter that you're putting out. Maybe you tweak your list that you're sending out. Maybe you have different follow-up methods. And obviously there's different coaches out there that can teach you the aspects of it. So I don't have the exact, you know, answer on my end, but I just know that there's a lot of tweaking that comes and involved with sending out those direct mail letters.
Yeah. And you have to have, I mean, minimum 30 to 50K just ready to blow on that and hope that you get one deal. Cause that, from what I've learned from not doing it myself, but learning from a lot of other high level investors, is that it takes 4 to 6 months sometimes to get your first deal and then it starts churning. And when you look at spending $5,000 to $10,000 a month, can you afford to wait 4 to 6 months? Plus, do you have the money to then put down to buy that property? Not everyone has that luxury. So with that being said, we're a few minutes in here and I'm sure everyone's like, okay, we know what doesn't work. So what does work? Trevor, what is it? What is your number one strategy that's free for marketing that everyone needs to be doing out there?
I would say more than anything else, just podcasting. I find that that's just the number one strategy, whether you're going out there and finding podcasts for you to be a guest on, whether that's you going out there and starting your own show. that's been the biggest thing. I mean, I've been in the podcasting space since 2015, and it's how I got my start in the space and how I eventually built the company I have today. But just being able to network with folks on a podcast and find out what they're looking for, what do they need help with, has just been almost like insurmountable compared to just attending these networking groups where, wait, I get to have a conversation with an investor or a potential partner, and we're talking anywhere from 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. I don't know if you want to get much longer than that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not like a Joe Rogan podcast where people might be checking it out that long, but there's just so many opportunities when it comes to, again, either being a guest on a podcast or hosting your own podcast. And both those options, especially when you're starting out, it's just sweat equity. It's just putting in the hard work to get those both off the ground.
I can't agree more. And I'm going to give some stories to back up what you're saying here in a bit. But man, I just know all the red flags going off in people's minds right now of like, I am an introvert. I have never spoken in front of a mic. I don't like the sound of my voice. I don't like seeing myself on camera. I don't know if I am going to be able to produce a good show. All of those things are going through people's minds right now. So can you just help remove some of those fears a little bit from people that have never actually tried podcasting and speak a little bit to those concerns?
Yeah, most certainly. So I can take you back to 2015. So at the time I was 18 years old, I was in college, and I thought to myself, hey, this would be pretty cool to go out and start a podcast. No prior experience, never had been behind a mic or anything like that. And then just went for it. You know, I was super introverted and it was super painful in the beginning. And I remember we had a guest on the show that I was interviewing. He was a successful author named John Gordon, and we were interviewing him. And we butchered his bio I butchered his bio just so bad that he had to tell us exactly how to say it. And it's not like we were butchering his name, butchering his, like, you know, the paragraph that we would introduce him to the show. And there'd be times where I had a nice guest on and I would forget to hit the record button. When I found that after about 10 or 15 episodes or so, I really became comfortable with it. I knew what I was going to say. I wasn't nervous behind the mic as much. And I already classify myself as someone that is introverted, definitely more than extroverted. And I found I just kept having to push myself out there. And again, I wasn't used to being on camera. I wasn't used to talking behind a mic. You do it in the beginning and you start to realize certain things. You might say, a lot. You start to realize certain things that you're looking at. And you sort of just become better over time. And I find that too many folks let that early on in the beginning stop themselves from going out there and, say, hosting a podcast because they think, hey, who's going to want to listen to my show? No one's going to follow me. I'm going to make a fool of myself. And then that's why they don't start a podcast. But you kind of just have to go out there and do that. And you're going to make mistakes, whether you're starting a podcast, whether you're investing in a short-term rental or building a short-term rental portfolio. Of course, there's going to be mistakes. And you really just got to go out there and push yourself and get outside your comfort zone. Because again, that's something I did. And again, it was super uncomfortable in the beginning. And you just sort of grow over time and then almost become second nature the more that you do it.
So what are some of the direct or maybe indirect results that lead people to getting more deals because they are either getting on podcasts or starting their own podcasts?
I find the biggest aspect of it is one, just a networking play. Mm-hmm. You get to go on a podcast, say, if I'm hosting a podcast that I'm always having guests on my show, say I'm having, let's just make it simple, one interview a week is what I'm doing. So I'm talking to 52 new investors per year. I tell them, hey, I'm in the market. This is what I'm looking for. Do you know anyone like this? They obviously have their folks that they know. They have their network. And then you get to join together. So I find that aspect of it. Two, you get to raise awareness. So as a podcast host, you're just building connections with your brand, with your listeners. And then you can continue to talk about what exactly what you're looking for in your next deal. If anyone has any deals to bring them to you, or if they're looking to sell or whatnot, maybe you partner up. Maybe you fund the capital. Someone else comes in and they do the sweat equity aspect of the deal. So I find really that networking aspect of it, the brand awareness aspect of it. And then two, on the flip side, if you're going out there and thinking, hey, I don't really want to start a podcast, but it'd be kind of cool for me to be a guest on people's podcasts. But then you get to leverage that host's audience and similar thing. You get to network with that host. You get to talk about what you're looking for, what you do. And then you're building awareness with that podcast host audience. And maybe they've taken 2, 3, 4, 5 plus years to build their audience, and they have thousands, let's say even hundreds of listeners, 500 listeners an episode. Well, you get to talk about what you're looking for, and then maybe that person can bring you that deal of what you are looking for. So I find that those two aspects of it, but like anything else, it's really going to be a long-term play. I know we were talking about the direct mail letters earlier in the conversation. To really succeed, when they're being a podcast guest or podcast host, you really got to be able to do it for a year, two plus. And the reason that it doesn't work out for folks is that they just give up too early. They think, I could go on one or two podcasts, I'm going to see success. Conversely, I think I'm going to have 10 episodes of my podcast and it's going to be a success. And they just give up way too early. And then they just miss out on those additional opportunities to find those deals.
All right, listen up. If you are not using Price Labs, you are literally throwing money in the trash. Dynamic pricing is a must in our industry. If you don't know what that is, dynamic pricing is just a fancy term for supply and demand pricing. When demand is high, Price Labs will get you high-priced bookings. And when demand is low, it will fill up your calendar while the competition overprices themselves and leaves everything vacant. I was dumb in the beginning of my short-term rental journey. I thought I could do it all without Price Labs, so one day, I just said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to try this thing out. And immediately, my income went up 15 to 20% on my listings. I really was kicking myself. I should have been using this from the beginning. So don't make the same mistake as me. Get started with your free 30-day trial at fearlesskyle.com/pricelabs. Or even better, how about getting 25% off your first 6 months as a thank you for being a part of the STR six-figure formula membership? That's right. Go to fearlesskyle.com/6FF to become a member and claim that discount today. So one of the things that I can tell the audience to just kind of back you up on this, two parts. Number one, I want to hear what your response is to this first before I give the second. It was instant credibility for me. That was the biggest thing. I got to have conversations. Think everyone, Team Fearless out there listening right now, think about all the times that you're having to ask the question, can I pick your brain? The person on the other end of that is busy. They are a high producer picking their brain, even offering to pay for a meal for them. Very few are going to be open to that. Now, exchange that question with, can I have you on my podcast? One of the great things about that is now that person is now getting value from it too, right? They get to talk to your audience and they're not going to, most of them, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, Trevor, but most of them are not going to ask, well, how big is your audience? A few of them might, but most of them just say, yeah, I'd love to be on your podcast. Now you get 30 minutes to an hour of their time for free without having to ask the embarrassing question of, can I pick your brain? This is how the first 6 months of my podcast, I'd only done one deal. I had maybe 20 downloads per episode, but I got guys like Tim Brotz, Rod Cleef, major real estate guys on my podcast because I just asked that question. Would you like to be on my podcast? So what do you think about that, Trevor? Is that something that you feel like carries a lot of weight in getting more deals as well?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. Just getting your credibility with them. And like to you, when I had started my own podcast, again, back in 2015, and I was reaching out to folks, I think of the same exact thing that you did. Instead of saying, hey, can I pick your brain? Hey, do you want to come out as a guest on my podcast? And some like the real estate folks back then that I was able to interview was like David Osborne and Jay Papazan and those sort of successful real estate investing folks. And I got to spend, like you mentioned, 30, 60 minutes. And I can ask them almost like any question that I want. How do they grow their business? Why do they do this? Why do they do that? And then people say, hey, Kyle's getting associated with Rod Cleef. Rod Cleef, he's a very successful real estate entrepreneur. Obviously, if Rod's associating himself with Kyle, Kyle must be successful. And it's sort of like that's in the mind of the prospects or the folks that are checking you out. And it's not bad to a T, but that's sort of how it is when you see successful people hanging out or one successful person. And you really get to, I mean, lack for a better word, you get to just use that person's audience to really build your credibility. So I wholeheartedly agree with that, being able to use other people to almost like boost yourself. And not that I want to say like slimy, but it's just helpful, especially early on when you're beginning and you want to build your reputation and credibility. It is helpful having those higher tier guests on your podcast.
I've created two podcasts and two YouTube channels, one in real estate, one in Major League Baseball. And I can tell you both of the results of that is I got in rooms so much easier with people I never imagined that I would ever be in rooms with. And then once other people saw that I was in those rooms, taking photos, doing interviews with them, it just brought that exactly what you said, like, wow, Kyle knows this person. He must have something special about him. And it's not. It's just literally, it's this tool of podcasting that really gives you that opportunity. The secondary thing I think it does that I wanted to bring up, Trevor, is it makes you seen as the expert, even if you are not the expert, right? I started my podcast at the time, it was called Fearless Flipping. I'd flipped one house, right? And I just wanted to learn more about flipping. But then I started getting these guys on the show. I started building my knowledge because I got their time, but also other people, my audience, saw me as an expert. And what that ended up doing was I also said, anytime I had a conversation with a potential seller or a potential client, I got to end that conversation with, oh, by the way, I'm also a podcaster in this space. Here's my website or here's my show. And again, just instant credibility from now, they see me as an expert because of that platform. Now, I guess the question that I have there is, when you are talking to people about maybe either starting a podcast or being on podcasts, how do you kind of present that, or how would you speak to that in just the expert side of that, of how this is going to portray you as an expert?
So I think it's twofold. One, you get a ton of credibility by going out there and going on other people's podcasts, because the audience will say, hey, if this person's having Kyle on my, or, you know, I heard Kyle on this interview, obviously the podcast host had him on for a reason. He must be an expert. So there's that aspect of it. And then if you're a podcast host, people must assume that you're an expert because you're hosting a podcast, because otherwise, why would you be hosting a podcast if you didn't know what you're talking about? So I think it's twofold there, where they both really help you build credibility. And I think so many people almost get scared of starting a podcast or being a podcast guest. That's like this golden nugget. We're like, wow, you're a podcast host. You must be super successful. You know what you're talking about. I want to, you know, follow you, you know, in a nutshell. And then obviously being a guest as well. Oh, this person's an expert guest. He's coming onto the show for a reason. He must be good at what he does. And not to say that every guest is good, or certain things like that, or, you know, even a podcast is good within itself, but it just continues to build that credibility. And then of course, when you, let's say you go out there and you develop a website, now all of a sudden you can put all your podcast episodes there, whether you're hosting a show or whether you're going on shows on your own, and then people can check you out that way. And I find that really helps boost credibility too, where, oh my gosh, you know, this podcast host has 200 podcast episodes. He's got to be an expert if he's been sticking with it this long. Yeah. Conversely, this individual, he's been a guest on 20 podcasts. He must really know what he's talking about, because why would 20 podcast hosts want to have him on? So I think it's a twofold mixture between the two of them.
So I didn't tell you I was going to ask this question, but I'm sure just being around real estate people and podcasters, you've probably got something in your back pocket here. Who's been a client that you've worked with or a podcaster that you know of that has gotten an impressive real estate deal just by having their own podcast or being on a podcast?
Yeah, I would probably say we worked with this individual. He was based out of Kansas City, and he found so many deals from going on podcasts. And this was probably a year or two ago. And we just booked him on all these different shows, and he just went out there. It's interesting. He doesn't want us to share his name just because he's no longer a client of ours. So he's kind of, it's interesting because the majority of our clients are perfectly fine with that. Whether they, you know, we book them on 20 shows and they take a break and we can share their name. But long story short, he was like our most successful client that we've ever had. I think he found like 25 new dealers or something like that from going on podcasts. I know, I wish I could share his name. I'm like, it's like the best story. That's like all I want to talk about.
No, good.
Calls with potential clients is sharing his story. But yeah, he really took off. He found his niche. He found his groove. He went out there on the right podcast. And I think he ended up hosting his own podcast, because what he did and what was interesting is he would bring on guests occasionally on his podcast, but he would repurpose the interviews that he did on his own show. So it'd be like, if I had my own podcast, Kyle, it'd be like me taking this interview and putting it on my show, so my audience gets to hear it as well and dish into your audience. So he was super smart about his marketing strategy and how he would use his interviews to continue to build his personal brand. And then over time, he sort of built that authority, like what we've been talking about, where people are just coming to him left and right.
Awesome. So speaking of you having clients, I just threw up your link on the screen here, podcastingyou.com. Tell everyone how you're helping podcasters or people that want to get on podcasts, how you're helping them.
Yeah, most certainly. So our bread and butter is helping folks get booked on podcasts. We do help some folks start their podcasts and edit and different things like that, but we pretty much work with anyone in the alternative investment space. I know we've worked with a few folks in the short-term rental space. We worked with a company called Techvester, which is pretty cool seeing what they're doing. And then we worked with a Airbnb coach. I believe his name was Michael Alfonte. So we've had some cool folks that we've come across and that we worked with. But yeah, it's been good. Our main bread and butter is we just take out all that legwork and help get people booked on podcasts. So like what we've talked about, they can build that authority and that awareness.
All right. So if anyone right now is listening and saying, hey, I either want to go start my own podcast or I'd like to just be on podcasts, I feel like I have value to give. That second person sounds like they should just reach out to you and get on podcasts. But what about that first person who was like, I'm thinking about starting my own. I don't really know where to start, how to do that. Is there any advice or any resource that you have to just give people the next steps for that?
Yeah, most certainly. I think the biggest tool, and it's going to sound easy, but just going to YouTube and watching videos. I know when I started back when I was starting my own show and I was doing everything, booking the guests and editing the show and all that good stuff. I'm not sure if it's still free, but there's a podcast host called Pat Flynn. He hosts a show called Smart Passive Income. He had a course. It was about 8 videos, maybe about 30 to 45 minutes each, and really walked you through from like A to Z, like how to start your podcast, how to find guests for your podcast, how to edit your podcast. And then even, you know, you get super granular, like how to take your RSS feed and put it out there on the different podcasting platforms. So it really walked me through steps, basically 1 through step 8 on how to start a show. So if anyone is interested in launching their show, I really recommend a resource like that. Or if they are interested in starting their own show, I can always have that conversation with them. Again, it's not really our bread and butter, but we have a great partner that we typically refer it out to for folks that are looking to start their show.
And if you are going to start your own podcast, you mentioned Pat Flynn, read his book too, Superfans. That is a great book that helps you to understand how to build an audience. Trevor, was there anything that I did not ask that you feel like is important for all of our real estate and short-term rental investors to know about podcasting before we log off here?
I would say just reiterating again, the biggest thing is just putting yourself out there. It's going to be super uncomfortable in the beginning, but the more times you do it, the more comfortable you get. And then that's going to lead to whatever your success. So if you're on the fence, I say just jump in and just get started. Whether, again, being a guest, being a host, either strategy is super valuable.
Awesome. Trevor, I appreciate you jumping on and helping our audience to conquer the world of this number one free marketing strategy of podcasting. Thanks, brother. All right, guys, I'm just going to speak to you right now, one-on-one. Podcasting or YouTubing can be extremely, extremely intimidating. But I can guarantee you, just like anything, you might suck and you probably are going to suck at it at the beginning, but that's not what matters. The results are not what matters. It is the effort and it is the relationships and it is the credibility and the perceived expertise that you're going to get along the way to where you're going to look back on like those first few episodes, be like, wow, I sucked. Like that was bad. But man, look at how much I've evolved and look at all the deals I've gotten. Look at all of the opportunities, the doors that have opened because of this. That is the most important thing. I can tell you when I first started my podcast, again, it was Fearless Flipping was the name of it. When I first started that, I had no intention of going as far as I have with this. I wanted to build great relationships with people that would usually either it would cost money to have their time or it would be really embarrassing to ask them to pick their brain, which by the way, just so you know, no one likes it when you ask that question. I'm sorry. No one likes that question. Give value, right? And that's the value that I decided I was going to provide was giving my guests a platform to speak their mind, to provide their value, to get more clients, to get an advantage out of being on my podcast, whether it had one listener or 100,000 listeners. And in doing that, I was able to have conversations with people that led me to be able to do more deals, that led me to be able to be perceived as the expert, which eventually I did become the expert. And then when people were asking me, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do that? I realized there was another opportunity to A, help people and B, monetize that as well to create another stream of income. And that's how wealthy people get wealthy is multiple streams of income. So the indirect opportunities that come from this are monumental. And that's all I have to say to you is if all you're afraid of is the way that you sound on camera, the way you sound on the mic, the way that you look, like just look at guys across the board that are at the top of their industry and tell me that they are the best spoken and tell me that they are the best looking people. They're not, right? Some of them they might be, but they didn't start off that way. They had to polish themselves. Now, just get into that mindset of getting uncomfortable with not being perfect, okay? If you can get uncomfortable, if I said get uncomfortable, I meant get comfortable. Get comfortable with not being perfect. If you can get comfortable with not being perfect, the results will come. And that's all I got to say about that. So go do it. Check it out. And I thought that was great advice from Trevor at the end. Just go YouTube how to start a podcast. And that's the best place to go. All right. That's going to do it for me here on the Fearless Investors Podcast. We're helping you to conquer the world of short-term rentals. See you next time, Team Fearless. Hey, Fearless Investor community, thanks again for listening to this episode of The Fearless Investor. If you haven't already, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. And for more free content, check out my YouTube channel, also called The Fearless Investor, and our website, www.fearlesskyle.com. Until next time, keep on conquering the world of short-term rentals.